Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome to the show. Chad has the day off. Dave Schrader back in. You normally find me here Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m. with the Paranormal 360. Sitting in with me, Josh. Good to see you, Josh.
Good to see you.
It's been a while, buddy. What, a couple weeks?
It's been a week.
Oh, feels
Wednesday.
Like many
weeks. Last Wednesday.
Was it? That's it?
It was. Wow. It was. I looked back and I said, man, I got to bring my A game and top what we did last week. Cause
that's pretty hard to do, buddy.
It's the Marconi's in the mail.
This is... I think you mean the macaroni might be in the mail. Yeah, the craft.
I'll take it. That. Yeah, we will craft a show together for sure.
Oh, look at you. Wow, dad joke strong today,
you know
son.
What? You know what? I get paid the big bucks for this. So.
You do?
The ones of dollars.
Ones to tens of dollars?
Yeah.
Good God, that's going to put you in nearly the pauper category for pay.
I have enough to pay my parking. That's about it.
You pay for parking?
No.
I just walk here. It's cheaper. Yeah.
Good luck.
Hey, this is huge news to me. Norovirus cases are on the rise here in Minnesota. The Department of Health is reporting now over 40 outbreaks just in December, nearly double the number for this time this year. Norovirus, if you are not familiar, often referred to as stomach flu, is highly contagious and leads to symptoms like, all the charming things, vomiting, diarrhea, or just unbearable stomach cramping. Other symptoms can include low-grade fever or chills, headaches, muscle aches. To reduce the risk of infection, folks, just pay attention. I know you're still a little bitter about the whole COVID thing and trying to keep yourself clean, but trust me, norovirus, not something you want to mess with. Keep up with your hand washing. Wash thoroughly. Soap and hot water. For at least 20 seconds, especially before preparing or eating food and after using the bathroom or changing diapers. I didn't know this, but most hand sanitizers do not kill norovirus.
Yeah, there you
Yikes.
Go.
Yeah. Food preparation. Avoid preparing food for others if you've experienced vomiting or diarrhea in the past 3 days. How about just any time in the last week? If you've been raging diarrhea and vomiting, don't make my food.
Yeah.
I'll just open a can of SpaghettiOs and we'll call it a day.
I am overly cautious with, especially now that I'm kind of helping out because I work at Target part-time.
Mm-hmm.
I formerly was in deli about 10 years ago at Plymouth, and I'm back in the deli here at the Rogers location that I'm working at, and I'm one of those people that overly changes gloves. I know Target's footing the bill to get new boxes in, so I don't care as far, and I'm sure they wouldn't care as far as how much precaution I take as far as not spreading germs, but like especially when we prep chicken, I'm like OCD about cleaning everything the minute I start and finish racking those chickens for the next day. It is like boom, boom, and that goes with pretty much everything I handle. If it's crossing, like there's sometimes will be where they'll put, put the tenders and stuff out on the little pan and then, you know, grab them with their gloves and put them in the containers, et cetera. And then they'll like bring out the rotisserie rack and put it. It's like, no, let's wipe this off. Let's wipe the crumbs off. I'm like OCD when it comes to cross contamination of food for that exact reason, where you will be either ahead or the other end over a toilet for a significant amount of time. And it's just one of those things where whoever is prepping food, take as much precautions as you can, even if it means burning some inventory from wherever you work.
That's right. And they're telling you, too, surface disinfection, huge. Immediately clean and disinfect surfaces that have come into contact with vomit or diarrhea using household bleach solution. And if you do contract the norovirus, it's important. Stay hydrated. Drink plenty of fluids. And, you know, the illness itself, it's brutal, but it usually resolves within 1 to 2 days. Mm. Individuals are advised to stay home, avoid preparing food for others. Facilities, like you're mentioning, restaurants, schools, stores, child care centers, any long-term care homes are encouraged to follow these strict outbreak prevention guidelines. If you want more information, get detailed information on norovirus prevention and treatment, visit the Minnesota Department of Health's official website. I got to tell you, it was just about this time, maybe 12, 13 years ago, just about New Year's Eve, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. My daughter, Dad, can I spend the night at my friend's house for New Year's Eve? Sure. Call the parents. Everything's good to go. She goes out, spends the night. My other kids, Dad, we want to go to Perkins. We want sprinkle pancakes. Okay. We're going to go for sprinkle pancakes for New Year's Eve dinner, because why not? We pull into the parking lot, and my son Linus goes, Daddy, I don't feel too good. And I go, what's wrong? And then he just projectiles in the car, which then gets the whole car gagging, right? Mm-hmm. So we turn around, go home. Everybody goes in. I'm cleaning the car. I come inside. Poor Linus is just laid out on the floor, unable to move. And I'm like, what the heck has happened? Maybe 20 minutes later, my daughter Pacey starts going.
Mm-hmm.
Then I get the phone call from my daughter who's spending the night at her friend's house. Dad, you need to come pick me up. I don't feel too good. I'd taken them to the Eagle's Nest Play Center.
Yeah.
And they had all gone playing the day before, so they're in the ball crawls and the tunnels and everything.
Yeah.
I got to guess that's where they picked it up. I have to guess. And
sounds like
that
the wheels
night,
are coming off.
Oh, Josh, it was the worst New Year's Eve on the planet, in the history of New Year's Eves. These kids were set off like the Bellagio Hotel's fountains. Every 15 minutes, there was a show. One of them was going, I made it through. Everything is great. Keep everybody clean. Keep everything moving. I didn't sleep at all that night because literally it was every 15 to 20 minutes somebody was going. And then like the mighty Thor of Hammer, plummeting to earth, striking me upon the brow the next day, I was done. And you know, the kids, they're horrible. They're not there to help you at all, Josh.
No.
So when you're single parenting and all the kids are still kind of recovering and now it's hit you, worst case scenario. That was probably the worst launch to a new year I've ever had in my life. Norovirus is no joke. That is brutal.
I bet.
1 to 2 days on, it's gone. And what a weight loss regime. Holy yeah. cow, I must have... I was probably down a good
Ozempic.
20, 25 pounds. Yeah. Take that, Ozempic. Brutal. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, what do we do when that good feeling we've got has gone away? And, of course, I'm talking about cannabis experience has gone horribly wrong. We'll discuss that next. And feel free to join the conversation, 651-461-9226. That is the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. Have you ever just tried to imbibe, have a little fun, relax, and something goes horribly wrong with your edibles, your smoke, your vape? I'd like to hear what your fun stories are. We'll discuss that next right here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to the program. Chad's out. Dave Schrader's in. When feeling good goes horribly, horribly wrong, join the conversation with me on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. Let's Let's just dive right into what to do if a cannabis experience takes a wrong turn. It happens, but there are ways to handle it. Here are just some quick tips coming from the experts. First of all, stay calm. Remind yourself it's temporary. Find a space, a safe space that's quiet so you can relax. I'll share my story in a few moments, Josh, because I understand the need for that staying calm part. Hydrate and snack. Sip water. Have a light snack to balance your system. Distract yourself if you can. Listen to music, watch something comforting, or just focus on some deep breathing, if you can breathe. If you can breathe. Because my story is one of terror. Pure,
oh boy,
sheer terror, Josh.
Oh, boy.
Reach out. If you're with friends, let them know how you're feeling. They can help. Or they can't, like my wife, who wanted me to die that night. I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. Limit your stimulation. Dim the lights, reduce noise, and avoid anything overwhelming. Consider CBD. Some find it helps counteract the THC, but start small if you try that version. Make sure you're rested up. Sometimes a nap is all you need to reset in those really bad moments. And know when to get help. If it feels serious, don't hesitate to reach out to medical professionals. The best prevention, start low, go slow, especially with edibles. They take longer to kick in, and man, do they hit with a wallop. I had a friend, we were out in California, and she goes, oh, hey, do you want a cookie? I'm like, sure. And she hands me this foil-wrapped cookie.
Yeah.
And I go to grab the cookie and just chuck it in my mouth. She goes, whoa. And I'm like, what? And she goes, just break off a small piece. And I'm like, what kind of hippie commune is this? We're just sharing little bites of your cookie? I thought you were giving me a cookie. She's like, dude, it's an edible. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And then it took a few seconds to register what that meant. And I'm like, oh. And I said, so what's the little bite going to do for me? I mean, is it really that potent? She goes, oh, yeah, yeah. If you'd have eaten that whole one, we'd have had to scrape you off the asphalt. And I'm like, I'll pass. And I just handed the cookie back. I'm like, if I don't know what the response is going to be, and I have been around some friends who have eaten just a little too much, ate the whole cookie, if you will, and boy, can that be a rough day for everybody.
Yeah.
Rough. And are you a cannabis enjoyer?
I am. I have not in like recent. I will partake, like, if, you know, just so happens I'm somewhere in that. And so,
like, if I blaze one up right now in the studio, you'd take a hit if I wanted to?
Wouldn't be the first.
What? We don't, of course, we don't do that because we're professionals.
No, it's against the rules. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I've done it. I've actually traveled the streets of Chicago with a buddy after having a cookie. It was a vanilla wafer cookie. And boy, it's a little much when you're kind of walking around a lot in one of the biggest cities in the country.
I would guess walking, though, would help you kind of burn it off quicker.
A little bit. Definitely didn't realize the strength of stuff like that.
Yeah, edibles, you've got to be careful.
Yeah, yeah. It's not, even a wafer cookie, it was just like, all right, well, we're screwed in like 3 hours.
And that is the problem. It takes longer for edibles to hit.
Yeah.
So you have that quarter of a cookie.
Yeah.
And you're like, nothing's going on. And then you eat the other quarter of a cookie.
Yeah.
Now you're half in and you're like, this is ridiculous. I'm just going to eat the whole dang thing. And you're done. Cooked.
Went to Giordano's. And of course, this is 2018. So like, still wasn't knowledgeable enough to know that it is technically a chain. I was like, oh, man, Chicago, I'm having Chicago-style pizza. No. I know next time to go somewhere that's actually a Chicago joint, not, you know, hey, there's one in Minneapolis. Hey, there's
Romanati's,
one in Chicago. Yeah, yeah.
Rosati's.
Like, I went there, and I felt like, because I was on said cookie, the pizza, waiting for the pizza felt like 45 minutes to an hour when it probably wasn't. I know it takes a hot minute to cook them. It's a slow cook. For Chicago style deep dish, but it definitely made the wait feel like an eternity when you're just sitting there. You're just like,
were you kicking down
eyes are just, you know, pushed into your head. Basically, you're just like, oh, when is it going to come out? Like, yeah, it's an interesting experience, but also it can get a little frantic.
Yeah,
if you don't know where you're going or what you're doing.
One of the listeners texts in on the talking text line. My sister misread the package.
Oh,
the whole package was I don't know if it's 5.0 milligrams when it came to the edible gummies, when it was actually 50 milligrams per tablet. She took way too many, was paralyzed for 24 hours and could only see black and white, couldn't move out of her bed. Needless to say, she learned her lesson.
It's a heck of a way to spend a Friday.
Wow. So I'm doing my radio show from home one night, my paranormal radio show, right? And this was 7-8 years ago. And I had developed just a major migraine. So I had all the lights off. I just had the light of the computer and the monitors and everything going. Mm-hmm. I'm hosting the show with my eyes closed for most of it, just trying to get through the headache and still sound connected, right?
Yeah.
And my wife, because she's got autoimmune issues and yep. she's got Crohn's, she's on medical marijuana.
Yep.
My wife's this little waif of a thing. She's like 5 foot nothing.
Yep.
You know, 104 pounds if mm-hmm. I'm lucky. And I watch her hit that vape pen like it's, you know, nothing. So I go, honey, listen, I can't. My Excedrin migraine's not doing the job here. Can I take a hit off your vape pen? She's like, sure. She hands me the vape pen and goes into the bathroom, and I take the vape pen and do the because I'm, you know, I grew up in Chicago. It was ditchweed. It took 14 hits to get you anywhere, right?
Yep.
I take this hit, and I hold it. And then she opens the bathroom door, and I release the smoke. And it looks like a scene from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. She goes, how many hits have you had? I said, just the one. She goes, how long did you hold it? And I go, I don't know, a minute or so? Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, man, I hope this helps. My headache. And all of a sudden, my headache just like melted. It was gone. I'm like, oh, that feels great. And then the whole room started to tilt. And I'm like, I got up, literally stood up, walked over, and laid down on my bed. And I'm like, this is going to be good. I'm going to get a good night of sleep. I'm relaxed. This headache is gone. And that night turned into a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
I'd close my eyes and then I'd go, I'm not breathing. I'm not breathing. And she goes, you're breathing. You're breathing. And I'm like, no, I'm not. She goes, you're yelling. You're breathing. And I'm like, I'm not breathing.
Yeah.
And we're having this back and forth. And then I'd eventually black out again. And then wake up sucking any bit of air I could get into my lungs. And this poor woman had to deal with me for hours. Mm-hmm. And I'm slowly just peeling clothes off. I'm down to just my underwear. I'm boiling. And I go, I can't stop sweating. She goes, you're fine. And I go, grab her hand, and I slap it on my forehead, and I drag it down my face and chest, and it's like Moses parting the Red Sea. It's just a flood torrent. It's a tsunami of sweat moving down my body. She's like, oh, my God, what is wrong? And then after 3 hours of this fighting for my life, I suddenly get very mad at her and my friend who both do medical marijuana. And I turn around and I'm like, you got a problem. You're an addict and we're taking you in because I'm a big guy and I'm 6'1", 300 pounds. I've smoked cannabis throughout my life. One hit. I'm like, I've watched you take 3 or 4 hits in a night. This is ridiculous. You have a problem. If your level of resistance is this high. And she's like, well, I don't take big hits. And I've been doing this for a couple of years now, so I'm medically inclined to, you know, be more resistant.
Yeah.
Plus, medical marijuana is no joke, son.
Yeah.
No joke.
Nope.
I was flying solo through the stratosphere in not a good way.
Yeah.
It was like I was Icarus getting way too close to the sun. I have never felt so terrified in my life. I said every prayer. I made up a few. I even did the old rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay God. Anything to try to get me out of this. I'm bargaining, negotiating. I have not touched the stuff since.
Well, how you turned around and you became the, you need help. You need to go see somebody. It's like, wow, that's a flip of roles right there.
Oh, dude, because I realized just what an addict my wife was. She's not. She just could handle it better. And I am a complete immature moron.
Yeah.
So I thought I was dying for most of the night. Listen, another listener chimes in. Really? This is what WCCO radio comes to? Drug use? You're a moron.
Yeah, first time ever we mentioned drugs on the air of CCO.
Oh, my goodness.
Pretty crazy.
You know, it's legal here
in
our state. I don't know if people realize that. I'm trying to warn people. I'm giving what's called a civic announcement to how to be careful.
It's our civic duty to share our
stories. Try to be careful. I'm sorry that you're so uptight and unhappy in your life that you wouldn't want to share the wealth of knowledge from your own moment of crisis.
Hopefully they have a good new year.
Yeah. That's all we can pray for. Yeah. Have a very good new year. That's that on that topic. Very uncomfortable. That's all I'm going to say. That was one of the most uncomfortable nights of my life. We are going to keep the phone line and talk and text line open. I have more discussion points. We're going to talk about something a little rougher when we come back. Oh, Dave, how could it be rougher than your experience? It's that time of year. A lot of people are dealing with things, and death and grieving is a big part of it. And with the holidays and New Year's, how do we handle these changes? I'd love to hear from you. What are some of your insights? What's the right thing to say, the right thing to do? Because it seems that so many of us want to say and do the right things, and we miss the mark. We'll talk about that next. Losing a loved one is probably one of the hardest things any of us is ever going to face, right? But sometimes the words that people say in those moments of grief can stay with us in some of the most unexpected ways, for better or worse. And that's exactly what happened to one woman who recently shared her story with me. Her husband had died suddenly, and amidst, you know, her shock and sorrow, a family member said five simple words to her: "You'll get over it eventually." Those words, meant to console, just ended up haunting her for years. They felt so dismissive of her deep loss in the complex emotions she was navigating. And that rises, to the top of my brain because my mom passed away 8 years ago. And as we're standing there in the kind of receiving line at the funeral home for the wake, people are coming through and exchanging pleasantries and, you know, sharing their sorrow. And some people are very good at comforting and just saying the right things. And then you have my Uncle Bob, who walks up and he shakes hands with my dad. And my dad goes, hey, Bob, how you doing? And he goes, well, better than you are. That was his response. Talk about social awkwardness, right? And again, I know that it wasn't meant in the cold-hearted way it came out, but it just shows how simple thought should be put into the things we say in those moments. And I know what he was trying to convey was, I'm sorry you're going through this. Just the choice of words can really confuse us at those times because we're kind of muddled. We're sometimes second-guessing what we say, how we say what we say. So that raises an important question. How do we comfort someone who's grieving without unintentionally adding to that pain? Because words matter. Grief is so deeply personal that even well-meaning comments can hurt people. So have you ever been in that situation when, someone's words during a tough time stuck with you? I had, at my mom's funeral, I was filled with rage. I was so mad. I had to go up and give the eulogy. And my friend came over to me and he's like, Dave, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm not okay. And he goes, talk to me. What's going on in your head right now? And I'm like, I'm so mad. I'm so mad at God. I'm so mad at the world. And he said, why? I go, my mom just retired from being a nurse serving for 45 years in service to others, taking care of people. And she was going to travel the world with my dad. And she was going to enjoy this time to herself. And I just kind of went through this laundry list of my angry points. And we got done and he said, buddy, I hear everything that you just said, but can I just bring something up to you? And I said, sure. And he goes, your mom had a son she was very proud of. Your mom met the man, the love of her life, and was with him for nearly 50 years. And they traveled a lot, didn't they, Dave? And I said, yeah, well, they went on trips two or three times a year. And how many states did they go to? Well, they saw all 50 states. Okay. And what about foreign countries? No, neither one of them really wanted to go out. Oh, okay. So they did get to travel, though. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, and your mom's work, she loved her work, right? She was a nurse for Shriners Children's Hospital. And I said, oh, she loved her work. She was great at her work. She touched so many lives helping people out. And he said, so what are we mad about, really? Are we mad that we're going to miss mom, or are we mad at God? And it just really kind of helped put me, it was so calming through the entire thing. It helped put me back on this clarity path that you're right. In those moments, we internalize our feelings and it becomes very personalized. And it's hard not to when you're grieving. But sometimes you do need to remember the good things. And at that moment, I had two choices. I could honor my mom by saying something positive and loving, or I could go off the deep end in front of all of our friends and relatives and coworkers and vent and, you know, rail it at God. And that would have done nobody any good. And that would have been the bitter taste that would have been left in people's mouth. So here was somebody that saw my pain, heard my pain, allowed me to have that pain, but helped bring me back around, showed me the good sides of what my mom's life was and that she wasn't really cheated. It sucked that she's gone, but she did more in her lifetime than most people do. And that was really powerful for me. So have you been in a situation like this where maybe it's something that helped you heal or maybe it was something that made things harder? What are those words that hurt, that you know probably didn't mean to come across that way? What are some tips you would give people to not fall into that same situation? 651-461-9226. One of the listeners on the Styles Financial Talk and text line said, I've lost both parents and four siblings. I've learned over the years the best thing to say to someone who is grieving is a simple, I'm sorry. And, you know, that's a beautiful, beautiful point. Sometimes less is more. We want to comfort somebody. It'll get better. At that moment, I don't want to hear it'll get better. I don't want you, right? I mean, we want to know that.
It's a crutch.
Right.
It's kind of a crutch response.
Sometimes, here, according to some psychologists that put together a list, here's some alternative things that you can offer. I can't imagine how hard this is for you, and I'm sending all my strength and love. Instead of just assuming you know their feelings, saying, oh, I know how you feel, which that's called trauma bonding, right? Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I don't want to hear about your problem, Josh. I'm grieving, right?
Yeah.
And I know that what you're trying to say is you're not alone here, buddy. Other people have survived this. But what needs to be, you know, considered is this is about the person that's grieving. This is about the person whose loss it is. And you think you know how they feel. They may have had a totally different relationship with that person than you did.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a great way to handle it. I can't imagine how hard this is for you. I'm sending you all my love and strength. And if there's anything I can do, please let me know. That's a great way to start off. Please accept my condolences. I know a lot of people get offended with the, you know, we're sending love and prayers. Well, your prayers didn't work. My person's gone. You're sending me love and prayers. What does that even mean? Again, that's sitting in a situation where I want you to know, Josh, I care about you. I love you. I'm sorry you're going through this. I'm sending you my love and prayers, buddy. Mm-hmm. I'm here for you. It doesn't always settle properly with people. Is there a better alternative to that, folks? Is there a better thing that you think that we can offer up as a condolence? How about something like your spouse, your family member was a wonderful person, and I have this cherished memory of him or her, and then sharing that memory, helping to bring back some of that happiness. Like I said, re-encouraging the good thought process about the person instead of wallowing in your own pain and shame, having a fun moment. We did that at my grandfather's funeral. Sitting down after my grandfather passed away, we all went out to dinner the day before the funeral and laughed till we were crying. We laughed so hard sharing funny stories with my grandfather.
Yeah.
Everybody had a story to share. He was a personality. He was funny, just charming. Everybody loved my grandfather. So that really kind of helped the healing start. It still takes a while to get over that shock and awe. And I'm still not over it. My grandfather passed away in 1990, and I still miss him deeply. But I also had a great life with him. And I got to give him his first grandson named after him. Right. And so we had these great little connections and he helped raise me. He was like a second father to me. So there are going to be these things and it's okay to carry the pain as well. But in a lot of cases, don't let that pain define who that person was for you because that's not who they are. You know, remind yourself of the love and the good things. We're going to take a quick break. We've got some more of these tips. I'm checking out the talk and text line. We've got some great little pieces of information coming in from that as well. If you'd like to weigh in, you can hit me up on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. Give me a call. Let's chat 651-461-9226 or text, and I'll read those texts on the air when we return right here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Chad Hartman, in fact, is not back, but I am. I'm Dave Schrader, filling in for Chad Hartman today. Thank you for tuning in. We're talking about the grieving process, death, grieving, finding the right things to say. The stylesfinancial.com talk and text line is open, 651-461-9226. Here's a couple of the messages we're getting. One says, whatever you do, don't say that what the person is feeling is wrong. They didn't choose to feel that way. That's just what happened. Don't tell them you know exactly how they feel because you don't. All you know is that they're hurting. Tell them that you know they're hurting worse than they've ever thought they could. And then say, whatever I can do for you, I'm here. Do not hesitate to call. I'm here for you. And then some human touch. It was just a hand on her shoulder or warm embrace. Sometimes that human touch means so much. That's a great piece of advice. Great piece of advice.
Yeah.
Another one says, my wife of 38 years died in her sleep unexpectedly a few months ago. The most meaningful thing a friend said to me was, I'm so sorry you didn't get to say goodbye. And that's from John in St. Paul. John, thank you for sharing your story, and we are sorry for your loss. Another person says, there are no words. Memories are the beautiful gift that keep our loved ones with us. Beautiful. Another listener chimes in, Dave, I've been in that situation. People say both right and wrong things, but they all mean well, and it's appreciated. What I dislike is the complaints against people who mean well, but just say it wrong. And I agree with you. That's an important element of this. And that's what I was trying to bring out in this discussion is, you know, it's a lot harder when you're in the heat of the grieving. You're in the center of that loss and that turmoil and that storm. We all want people to say the things we need and want to hear, and we kind of measure them by the yardstick of our own experience. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, we always have people fail us. You just have to accept people for who they are, unless they're just a cruel individual who makes some horrible statement to you regarding the loss. Understand that it is coming from a piece and a place of love, but it also just take a few seconds to think through the words that you're about to say to somebody, because again, that moment can mean so much to somebody. But you're right. It feels bad to complain against that. But people are allowed to have those feelings. And we need to take those things into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
What a kind and needed segment. My dad recently passed, 95 years young. Doesn't matter how many years you have. It's always a loss. Thank you. You're right. There's no preparing you, even when you're prepared for it. My father just passed away. His pastor came to the hospital while my father passed and took a moment to remind the family that people don't always think about what they're saying during these times. Keep that in mind in the event someone says something you don't feel was exactly right. The family really appreciated this reminder, as you have no control over what others say. We got in a whole bunch of texts and it jumped way down here.
Oh, yeah.
Where did it go? Appreciated this reminder, as you have no control over what others say. Great discussion. Timely for our family. Sorry for your loss as well. Another one, just lost my husband 2 weeks ago. I was surprised how during Christmas celebrations, not one person asked me how I was doing. Almost seemed to ignore me. Right? Sometimes we think that that's the best way. She doesn't want to keep being reminded.
Yeah.
She doesn't want, and that's a tough place to be. Like, all right, one of my best friends in the world is dealing with devastating cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a big conference and I helped raise money for him with this charity auction. I led the charity auction. I talked about it. I broke down on stage crying, talking about our friendship, our love, and how tough this was for not just me, but for all of the people that are fans and friends and love him.
Yeah.
And the tough part was, though, on the other side of it, the entire rest of the event, 3 more days, was all about kind of picking the pain, mm-hmm. and wanting to talk about it. And I had to put away the feeling, realizing, well, Dave, you became a spokesperson. You stood up. You said this.
Yeah.
People are going to come to you because you're a safe place now to share their feelings, and you got a chance to stand before 2,000 people and cry and share your story.
Yeah.
It's only fair to let that come back. And I did, but it was all weekend constantly. And it does start to weigh you down. So sometimes people don't know what to say in the midst of grief. It's like, I don't want to keep poking and prodding you.
Yeah. I had that same experience when I had leukemia in 2017. definitely, even today, still people like don't know how to approach you with that question, like, hey, how are you doing? Because obviously, like, it's cancer affects everybody in a different way. But even then, it was like, hey, you know, you're going through chemo, you just had, you know, blood transfusion, et cetera. Like, how are you doing? Well, I'm strung up like an operation board right now, but I'm doing all right. It's one of those things that unless they've been through it, they don't know how to kind of have that perspective or have like the right questions to check in on you, which is, it's understandable. It wasn't at the time, but it definitely becomes more understandable as time goes on.
You know, and like with my friend, I've got two friends going through cancer at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And one, I know his personality.
Yeah.
So I talked to him like I would always talk to him. And we ribbed each other about cancer. And we, you know, we just made it part of our conversation as opposed to the big, ugly, taboo subject.
Yeah, that's how.
And the other person, I can't do that with. The other person is in a much more fragile state. And you have to be cautious and be aware of that.
Yeah, and that's how Jordana and I vibe when we do shows together. Is we are in the same kind of boat, leukemia, et cetera. It's not – I don't recommend it.
Right.
It's not fun. But it's definitely kind of in the same boat also as this where you're dealing with family loss. And especially around this time in the holidays, as a lot of people – a lot of the texters are pointing out, it's not easy for the person no matter who it is. If you're the one suffering from it or if you're even the crowd around you saying, hey, how do I approach this person without – having to kind of stick that knife back into their body to remind them.
So. Well, it's tough because there's also been those days when we're like, hey, Josh, how you doing? Well, how do you think I'm doing? I just lost my blah.
Yep.
You know, and so it's a tough thing. So please do bear that in mind as well. But maybe that's you know, we're coming into the holidays. You're doing this. Tell somebody, hey, Josh, I know things are a little tough right now. I'm going to go out for New Year's Eve. If you'd like to join me and just get out of your headspace and we can go listen to music, have some drinks and laugh and talk, please feel free to join me. Just reminding that. Another powerful statement is sometimes just putting your arm around the person and not saying anything and just, I'm here. You know, just that statement. Yeah. Another listener pops in and says, I just wanted to share a conversation I was having with my sister recently. Her stepdaughter's 21-year-old son unexpectedly passed away. She mentioned that she hasn't talked to her stepdaughter in a while because she hasn't reached out to her. I told my sister that it's not up to her to reach out to people. She's just not capable of that right now. I told my sister that she's the one that needs to reach out and to just do it. Just show up for the person. Without her asking for anything, she's just trying to breathe and just put one foot in front of the other right now. I said, I've heard from parents who have lost children that well-meaning people have said, you're so strong, I couldn't go on, intending to be a compliment, but sometimes unintentionally diminishing the loss for the parents.
Yep.
Like maybe they're going in because they didn't love their child as much as everybody else, right? Got to think these things through. We'll keep this conversation going. We'll be back after.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At the top of the hour, I'm Dave Schrader. This is News Talk 830 WCCO.